Now, you went through some pretty big years with the Verve Pipe, the early 90s, the early 2000s. But what was the process like of coming down from that high?
Well, for me, it was difficult. You know, you have a lot of friends that really are there because you were famous and you've got money and there's a lot of partying that goes on. And but when the album after Villains really tanked, it was a reality check. Like, wow, it's, you know, what's next? You know, well, now what are we going to do? And then to go right into the studio and do Underneath, which we were all very proud of, with Adam Schlesinger, who were big fans of Fountains of Wayne, and then release it. We released it on September 11, 2001. It was just a bad omen for us. It was like, wow, I mean, is there anything else that could tell us this has got to be the end? You know, I mean, that was the worst day in our history, of course. And so, you know, we kind of thought, well, this is some sort of omen. We should just not record for a while. And at that time, it was like breaking up with a girlfriend, you know, or a wife.
It's tough stuff.
It's very tough. So I sold everything and bought an old RV and just had an acoustic guitar and traveled the United States and just played where I could play, where anybody would have me. And I, you know, didn't shower for days and those kind of ridiculous things that you do when you're a musician. But literally would play anywhere just to play and just write. And that's where the album Resurrection, my solo album, came from, from those times. And on that journey, I met my wife, you know.
Okay.
And then it's a whole new world. I got two kids.
Did you meet her here in Michigan? Or
I didn't. She actually came to a show to see a band called The Samples that I was on tour with. And I was literally following their tour bus in my crappy old RV. And she went to see them, and I opened up, and I met a girl and was on a date that night at my show, and she was on a date, and she just gave me a napkin with her website address. She said, "I'm a musician. You should check it out." I checked it out.
Okay.
We got married 3 months later.
Awesome.
I just said, pack a bag and get on this RV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, and we never looked back. And we actually moved here. She's from California.
Okay.
I got her to move in Michigan, and we've lived in East Grand Rapids now for, you know, 6 years.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So going out there on your own, like you were saying, playing wherever will have you, that was very cleansing for the soul?
Very, very cathartic, very cleansing. It really was. It was, I just felt like I needed to start over and figure out what this is about. I was writing stuff, too, that was so... It didn't make any sense to anybody. It didn't even make any sense to me. I was chasing a hit, another follow-up hit, with songs that were just not good. And I needed to strip it all away and not worry about anything, but just go back to the acoustic guitar.
What were some of the other takeaways you got from that time period?
Takeaways as in what? What do you mean?
Well, things that you learned. Maybe you got back to basics in some areas, but other things that, you know... You came face to face with as far as life and music.
Yeah, what else I took away from that is that your family's the most important.
Sure.
You know, and my family's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
My nuclear family, but even more importantly, the people that I had grown up with, and the friends that I'd had when I grew up in Grand Rapids, which is why I gave up the place in California.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I decided to move home. You know, And once I got home and became more grounded, at least I had a home base that was actually home this time.
Instead
of a home base that was in a state that I really didn't feel any longing for.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That was very cathartic as well. I think that's it, though. I think that I had to go through that process to be able to get back to writing songs again that, that meant something to me.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So.
Now, back when you guys first got rolling, early 90s, things were a lot different. I mean, with the labels and all that, the internet wasn't, you know, what it is today. Mm-hmm. You didn't have social media. You didn't have the internet as a distribution system for music.
Yeah.
But you're competing with so many things for the same audience. What does a young musician need to do these days to make it, to survive?
You know, I think that the most important thing to do is to be realistic. You're most likely not going to get signed to a major label now, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't that dream. There should, you shouldn't have that dream to sign with a major label.
Okay.
There's so many other ways to become successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't need them.
Right.
And I tell kids all the time, don't even go that path. It's a waste of effort and waste of time. And in the end, you're not going to get anything in return.
So what path should they take? What should they be focusing on?
They should build a following.
Mm-hmm.
And however they can build a following, by playing and playing and writing and writing. If you're a songwriter, you need to write all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, out of 50 crappy songs that I've written, I've had three or four that I felt good about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important thing. You know, it's like, you know, I think Stephen King, of all things, back in my early days, I used to read a lot of Stephen King.
Sure.
He's a terrific writer, a great storyteller. And he said that. He said, you should get up and write every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to write every day. And I try to write every single day. Whether it's one line, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
I'm working on one line, I'm writing, I feel like. Now, it doesn't mean like work on a line and then hurry up and go to the golf course for the rest
right.
of the day. But the idea is that if you're a songwriter, you got to write.
Right.
And these kids that, you know, we're losing kids who aren't writing well. We're losing kids who aren't playing instruments anymore because of GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
Not GarageBand, but Rock Band.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
These other non-instrument
sure.
Games, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And we're going to find, I think, in, you know, probably 10 years that we're going to have a lack of guitarists out there, you know, because of that.
Well, that sucks.
That maybe kids that play Guitar Hero and are proficient at it.
Right.
Can't pick up a guitar.
But it ain't the same
it's
thing,
not
you
the
know?
Same, you know?
Jimi Hendrix weeps.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know. Well, Jimi Hendrix, he, you know, he had a guitar he had to play upside down and backwards, and he still made that thing awesome.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I've taken on lessons as well. I work for C3 Exchange out in Grand Haven,
okay.
Michigan, which is a progressive church, and I
mm-hmm.
and I give free lessons to the kids.
Oh,
there,
cool!
You know,
cool.
So they come in, and I see kids all day on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I just teach them the basic stuff.
Sure,
you know, and I got a student who's 4 years old who's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I got some special needs kids in there
mm-hmm.
That are. You know, it's taken a long time, but they're mm-hmm. learning a chord or two, and it's been really good. You
oh,
know?
Great.
And so the idea is to get kids to pick up instruments. But to get back to what you were saying, in order to make it, there really is the potential out there. I think things are going to break wide open at
okay.
some point. There's such a—
It does have that feeling.
It does, doesn't
yeah.
it? It's like the late 80s were for me.
Mm-hmm.
Late 80s were, in my opinion, were a terrible time for music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Nirvana hit— It was like, wow. I mean, there's a whole new thing going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's about songs and lyrics
right.
and attitude and this whole great thing that we hadn't seen since the late 60s, you know.
Right.
And we were fortunate to be a part of it. I feel like that's going to happen again. And when that happens, I don't think that the answer is in a major label.
No.
I think an answer is in social media.
Right,
and
right.
And it's not necessarily just Facebook or MySpace either.
Right,
it's going
right.
to be something else.
Oh, and, sure. But what about distribution? I mean, what angle should these young musicians take as far as getting their work out there to folks even beyond our city?
Yeah. Well, what I recommend to kids for distribution is, first of all, I recommend not to give your music away. Your
okay.
music's going to be given away
sure.
anyway.
Right, right, right.
And there's a trend now where, you know, people are just giving their music away.
Well, everybody's giving everything away these
yeah.
days.
They figure, what's the point?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But there are ways to get around that.
Right.
You know, look, I mean, people go to my website. And they can listen to everything for free if they want to buy an album.
Right.
And, you know, and people don't even hardly buy albums anymore. But I have to get people to buy my CDs or mm-hmm. I don't make money. I don't make any money.
Right.
Because iTunes has taken half of, you know,
mm-hmm.
more than half of what I make. So I offer to, you know, to personally autograph them. So
mm-hmm.
you pay $10 for my CD and I'll sign it to your boss or sign it to your girlfriend or whatever.
Sure.
That's the point.
Sure.
You know, is that
sure.
there are ways to get around not giving your music away.
Right.
And another thing is house concerts.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up, the lawn chairs and living rooms.
It's been tremendous for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just now we're starting to get some pushback from clubs.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's getting bad. Clubs are now having a problem with house concerts.
Well, how will they exactly push back? Because I mean, I don't know if I would really see you in direct competition at some level with them.
Well, it just happened. It just happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't give you too many specifics.
Fair enough.
But there's a club that a house concert, didn't want a house concert anywhere near where they were. They were in a city that was 5 miles away.
Really?
And they're so against house concerts that they called the police.
Oh.
Yeah, they said, there's alcohol being served there.
Mm.
You know, you got to go check it out. And the police came. They looked at everything and they said, oh, there's nothing really here going, that's bad. You just can't charge.
Ridiculous.
But it came directly from a place that is a listening room.